Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Sabree Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Play your life, play your life. newly I was trying to say pre-elder or whatever, but none other than Elder Randolph Ford. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We want him to press one on his phone so we can bring him live tonight. Amen. And he's going to be delivering the word of God. So we know we're going to have some good word tonight.
Amen.
Welcome, Elder Elect Randolph Ford.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you are now
so
on the air.
So kind and sweet of you. Thank you. How are you, Pastor Ann and Pastor Stephen?
We're good. How are you doing?
That's good. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be a part of your broadcast ministry. And I always look forward to every opportunity to bring the word of God to the people of God. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And also thank you, pre-congratulations on the eldership elect. Thank you so much.
Yes, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with everything that's been going on in this world, I just pray that this evening's message is one of hope and encouragement. So allow me to get started. This evening, I will be coming from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 73. Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 73. Now, first, I will be reading from the New Living Translation, verses 16 and 17. And then I will read the King James Version of verses 16 and 17. And as I go through, you'll see exactly why. Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17, New Living Translation reads as follows. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. 17. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. King James Version. When I thought I knew this, it was too painful for me. 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. The word of God for the people of God, it is already a blessing unto them. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this evening from the subject, we still have hope.
All right.
Yeah.
We still have hope. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, another opportunity to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory through your word tonight. Oh God, I come as an empty pitcher. Fill me what saith you. O Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive what you have to offer. Lord, Father God, we ask that you lift up and fortify the leadership of Light of the World. Continue to keep them safe, healthy, and strong in you. And we ask, Father, that you bless the children of the world. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
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 My brothers and sisters in Christ, during these unique and challenging times, filled with despair and disappointment that we are living in, we need something to see us through. We need something to hold on to. We see in these two verses that the psalmist, Asaph, is basically going through exactly what we are living through today. He is questioning. He is trying to understand how does this all add up? How does this all fit together concerning the wicked? Asaph is looking at what is going on all around him, and he feels a certain way. He is troubled. He feels like there is no peace, no hope, no joy. He's puzzled because, like us, he continues to live a life of service to God, and still, according to the New Living Translation text, the wicked still prosper. Asaph has a right to be concerned because he was among a number of Levites who were worship leaders for King David. He's mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 as a singer, a poet, and a prophet. He's responsible for writing Psalm 50 and writing a series of other psalms from 73 through 83, known as the Psalms of Asaph. But Psalm 73 is a poem that deals with Asaph's struggle with envy, doubt, and his faith in God. As we will see through his struggle, he is eventually filled with hope, which brings him into closer relationship with God. But what does this have to do with our subject tonight? We still have hope. We can see the connection that, and thanks be to God, we have the Holy Bible, the ultimate book of God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We find the connection in the Bible that there is the fulfillment of God's promise to restore us and all creation. This is known as the hope of glory. It's described in 1 Peter 5 and 10, where it says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all glory, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Beloved, this hope is not a wishful thought, but the confident, expectant, joyful knowledge of God's promise that we are going to be changed by God and will one day see Christ face to face, having been conformed to his image. This is described in 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not appeared. But know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. In other words, Jesus' shed blood was to make us equal with him in heavenly places. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. For there is no greater sacrifice than laying down your life so that we would have equal access to God the Father. What's being described is God's promise to us through the second coming of his Son Jesus. The same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that will do the same for us, eventually on that day returning us to our heavenly Father. Although the hope of glory may be the fulfillment of one of the greatest promises of God to his people, some might still ask the question, what hope can I hold on to during my present day-to-day troubles, struggles, circumstances, and situations? What is there to help me right now through a pandemic, through unemployment, through police brutality, through racism, or maybe just when life just does not seem to go our way? Well, beloved, this is where Psalm 73 comes in. Upon closer examination, we will begin to understand that the psalmist put into this biblical text what ways we can put our thoughts about the wicked in perspective, in some kind of context, in such a way that it should not ever interfere with our relationship with God. If anything, we will strengthen our relationship with God through this psalmic poem of Asaph. As we look closer at Psalm 73, it will bring me to my first point. To help us understand God's plan of hope, encouragement, and direction as to how and why we should still have hope. Point one, what is the effect of the wicked on the believer? What is the effect of the wicked on the believer? Verses 2 and 3 in the King James Version of the Bible reads as follows. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. We can see from these two verses that Asaph confesses as to the effects of the wicked on him. The lifestyle of the wicked with their wealth and boastful ways almost made his feet stumble and nearly made his steps slip when Asaph became envious of the wicked. Asaph knew that his God, our God, was a good God, as he writes in verse 1. Yet what he saw disturbed him so much, he became envious. It seemed unfair to Asaph that it looked like God was being good to the wicked. Asaph saw the same troubling evidence that we see every day in our own lives. The wicked of the world seem to do whatever they want and get away with it. If things are supposed to happen to good people, why then are things allowed to happen in the lives of the wicked with no apparent accountability? It causes Asaph to wonder, what is the reward? Where is the reward for godliness? Asaph struggles with the concept that if God is in control of all and of everything, then the actions, then the plans of the wicked should fall flat, and they should be punished openly. And the God that we know should make us prosper. This is why I started with the initial biblical text of Asaph in verse 16, New Living Translation, where he says in his writing, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it was. If we were honest with ourselves, we struggle with the same questions. Remember, we still have hope, even when God makes us aware of the effects the wicked have on the believer. My second point, what do we know about the wicked of this world? What do we know about the wicked of this world? As we examine Asaph's observations that were written in the past, I want us to notice what he observed is relevant and coincides with what we know of the wicked in our world today. We read in the King James Version, verse 5, Asaph writes, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. The psalmist notes that these wicked of the world have no troubles and have no problems. Looking at verse 6, it says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. violence covereth them as a garment. Asaph added to his list by saying that the wicked wear their pride like a necklace, and they are not humble, and they are accustomed to violence, for they wear it like a garment. In other words, violence has become such a part of their life, that is who they become. As we continue on to verse 7, where it says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. Asaph is describing a people that has all they could ever want. According to this verse, they have more than their heart could wish. He even writes about their eyes, that they stand out with fatness, meaning that they are so materialistic. Everything they see, they want. Moving on to verse 8, it says, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. Asaph continues to tell it like it is, that these people are corrupt and they speak in an evil and arrogant way over others. Asaph seems to be on a roll now. Looking at verse 9, it says, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Here Asaph documents that these people are so full of themselves that they even speak against heaven. In verse 11, where it says, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Here the wicked are so emboldened and taken by themselves that they even question, they question the omniscient knowledge of God in a sarcastic way. Asaph quotes them when he says, how doeth God know? After putting together and writing this list of wicked attributes, Asaph then says in verses 13 and 14, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hand in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Asaph is crying out, exclaiming to God that even though he keeps his heart pure and himself innocent, he still is troubled all day long and wakes up every morning in pain by the actions of the wicked. I came to tell you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we still have hope even when God shows us what the wicked do in this world. As we have gone through my first 2 points, one, what is the effect of the wicked on the believer, which is us? Two, what do we know of the wicked of this world? We notice that Asaph is taking us through or mirroring the same questions and concerns we have in our own daily lives today. We are at a point in this psalm, at a crossroad, where Asaph is moving from a negative obsession to a positive understanding. What do I mean by that? It brings me to my third point. What is our daily hope? What is my daily hope? If we turn our focus back to verses 16 and 17, my original opening text, where it reads as follows, King James Version, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. You see, beloved, Asaph was caught up in an ironic situation. On the one hand, he could not deny that it was obvious, that it was evident, that the wicked and the ungodly seemed to be living pretty good lives. On the other hand, Aesop also could not deny that his own life was full of sacrifice, leaving him troubled and lost. Yet between it all, Aesop felt he had no help to help him figure this all out. He had no one around him that could understand his struggle. This is why in the text it says, "It was too painful for me." We go through the same painful situations as Aesop, where we get all caught up in our feelings, wondering how and why all of this is coming down on us. We even ask the question, "Why me?" when we see and experience unfair cruelty and brutality in the world. The pressure of Aesop's struggle seems to be building day in and day out until, as it said in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. We have to understand, beloved, that God will give us some lumps, bumps, and bruises along our journey of life as he is leading us back to him. And how do we know that Aesop is on his way back to God on a higher level of understanding? At the end of verse 17, he writes, King James Version, "Then I understood their end." In the New Living Translation version, it says, "I finally understood the destiny of the wicked." You see, until Aesop was able to humbly turn himself around in the direction of our Lord, coming into his sanctuary, he had no hope of a new perspective. He had no hope regarding his struggle. This now was not really any kind of ordinary perspective. This was a new eternal perspective that allowed Aesop, as the scripture said, "I understand their end." This means that Aesop had an eternal perspective now that allowed him to see the future end result of living a life of wickedness. This was a powerful and influential turning point in the life of Aesop. How did Aesop receive his daily portion of hope? Or in other words, gain that new eternal perspective of hope? The answer? Through praise, prayer, and worship. In the sanctuary, he understood that God was at the center and in control of all things, and he gained a fresh appreciation of both God and eternity. Also, through the hearing, the reading, and the studying of the Word of God, of the living Word, he understood that there was truth that went beyond what he saw and experienced in everyday life. We still have hope, even as God renews us daily. Aesop, armed with his new eternal insight, brings me to my next point. What is the effect of God on the wicked? What is the effect of God on the wicked? Verses 18 and 19 reads as follows. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction." 19. "How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors." Notice with Aesop's new understanding, he realizes the ease and boastful lifestyle of the wicked is now set on slippery places, ready to fall at any time, at any moment. Glory to God. What an amazing transformation of Aesop's mind at this point. With the Lord's help, Aesop no longer sees himself as a victim, ready to slip and fall due to his own envy, worry, or lack of faith. Aesop can now view clearly the destruction, desolation, and the wicked who are now consumed with terror. We always have hope when we are reminded that God has control over our enemies. We still have hope, even as God shows us his effective power over the wicked. When God blesses you with hope through his revelation, not only will he show you the truth about your enemies and the world, we have to be ready to accept the truth about ourselves. As in the following point, what are the errors of my ways? What are the errors of my ways? Verses 21 and 22 reads as follows. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Here Aesop confesses to the Lord the mistakes he has made in the past. He is now making reflective amends for his momentary lapse in faith because his heart was hurt. Aesop described his troubled mind with the use of the phrase, I was pricked in my reins. The word reins is often used in the Old Testament, figuratively, to indicate the mind. Aesop was making judgments of the wicked like an out-of-control animal that had no concept, had no sense of eternity or divine perspective. We still have hope as God shows us the error of our ways. We are now beginning to recognize the roadmap of Aesop's journey of hope, from struggle to trusting relationship with God. Aesop's familiar journey is followed in my next point, and it's reflected with the words, what are we grateful for? What are we grateful for? Verses 25 and 26 reads as follows, King James Version again. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. According to these verses, Aesop now realizes that God has always been there for him, and he is now sure that God would never leave him or forsake him. Aesop acknowledges the longing of a close relationship with God in heaven and on earth with the words, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. For Aesop, God was not only a heavenly hope of inheritance, but an earthly desire as well. Aesop also acknowledges his determined dependence on God due to the realization of his own weakness and God being his strength with the words, my strength, with the following words, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We still have hope as God shows us his blessings. As I draw near to the end of Asaph's eight-step process of hope, his spiritual insight brings me to my next point.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the wicked separated by sin from God? What happens to the wicked separated by sin from God? Verse 27 reads as follows. For lo, they are far from thee, shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them. They go whoring from thee. Asaph has no longer any doubts about the destiny of the ungodly. With his new spiritual perspective, his new insight, his new revelation, Asaph understood that the wicked would be destroyed and perish. The phrase "go whoring from thee" refers to the carnal choices the wicked make with the world rather than choosing a relationship with God. Our hope grows when we know there is no need to worry about the wickedness of the world. We still have hope as God exposes the destiny of the wicked. As I come to a close, my final point, what I now know about hope through God, what I now know about hope through God, as with any journey, each step brings you closer to your eventual destination. This is also true with Asaph's journey toward hope. You see, Asaph made the mistake that we all do. He allowed the negativity of the world to cloud his vision, muffle his hearing, and confuse his mind. We have to realize that with this happening, it confused him. It stopped him from understanding that it was blocking his vision, his hearing, to the point where he could no longer receive God's power or God's hand still in control. In other words, beloved, Asaph at that time had more of the world in him than the word of God in him. Asaph forgot his place with God, that although he was in the world, he was not of the world. Each step closer to God gave Asaph a clearer understanding of God's work within his life. You see, beloved, hope is God's centered trust, centered confidence, a blessed assurance, peaceful assurance, that something that has not yet happened will indeed happen. Asaph shows us where this hope comes from in his final words of the psalm in verse 28, which reads as follows. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. In this final verse, Asaph is saying that it is good to draw near to God because in doing so, there is no room for distractions to come between you and God. As a result, a bond of trust is formed. As a result, a bond of trust is developed with God. For our hope rests on trusting God. In addition, this trusting relationship brings you an overwhelming sense of peace and joy, which makes you want to tell everybody about the great and marvelous things God has done in your life. You see, God's goodness moves us, inspires us to a life of discipleship, planting seeds in others to grow in closer relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, with hope, you have the confident feeling that everything is going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
We still have hope as God shows us hope through him. And finally, beloved, for everyone who is under the sound of my voice, my prayer for you tonight, as you break through these challenging times, comes from the Apostle Paul, found in Romans 15 and 13. And it reads as follows. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And as the Apostle Paul closes with those words, I will close with these. We still have hope, even when God asks us to be faithful to him.
Mm-hmm.
We still have hope, even when God makes us aware of the effects the wicked have on us as believers. We still have hope even when God shows us what the wicked do in this world. We still have hope even as God renews us daily. We still have hope even as God shows us his effective power over the wicked. We still have hope as God shows us the error of our ways. We still have hope as God shows us his blessing. We still have hope as God exposes the destiny of the wicked. And we still have hope, beloved, as God shows us hope through. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This word. Yeah. Oh, this is an encouraging word to me tonight. I tell you what. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We still have hope. We still have hope. Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. This is a great word. We still have hope. And I was just thinking about the fact that you were saying that God is in control of all things.
Yes.
And, you know, that really just kind of touched me right there, because if we really think about God is in control of all things, then it will settle our mind to have peace, because we know that God is working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point that I wanted to say before we allow those that want to comment tonight is you talked about the fact that Asaph did not see himself as a victim anymore. And that is an area that we as men and women of God need to come to that revelation of not feeling like we are victims to something. And then the truth about ourselves. It is so important that we learn and we know and we establish the truth that is in us. It is so great a word tonight, and I am so blessed by the word that you have given to us on tonight. So we just want to give you a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
And God a hand clap of praise
Amen.
On tonight
Amen.
And just thank him for this word on tonight.
Amen.
But we do want to hear from those of you out there in Radio Land because we know that this is a life-changing word. This is an awesome word, and it's kind of like a hard word to swallow in a way, but it's a life-changing word because we find ourselves, and I believe that Mr. Ford is trying to help us to be able to see ourselves and open up and see that God is good and God is working things out no matter what it may look like. So we want you to press 1 on your phone. We want you to share with Minister Ford. You can ask him questions or us, or you can request prayer, or you may want to comment concerning this word, or you just may want to say something just to encourage the man of God, or you want to encourage someone else. But we want you to press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air to share your comment or ask your question. We will be glad to do that for you on tonight. And we do see that we have one in queue. And the first 3 numbers is 404, and your last 4 numbers is 8761. And caller, you are now live on the air.
Hey, this is Deacon Lewis. Good evening, all.
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm good. Hanging tough. You know what I mean?
Hang tough.
Yeah, man. That was a very sobering word.
Wow.
Very sobering word. You know, one that's timely. When you consider where we are. As far as our world is concerned and the things that are happening around us today,
mm-hmm.
COVID and all, and not only that, sometimes we feel like the wicked is prospering and we're, as believers, being left by the wayside, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the word says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So with that being said, you know, because of our love for God and God's love for us, I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So that's it's a blessing to know that. And that thing about being a victim, so many times we feel like, you know, why me? You know, why me? You know, I'm being mistreated. But going back to how all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. That means that as we go through what we go through, things are working out in our favor, but we got to go through it in order to get to what it is that God has for us. So brother, I appreciate the word that you shared tonight and be encouraged because, you know, you said a lot. You said a lot. And thank you. And I hope others were able to receive what I received from this. So be encouraged, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Deacon.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Thank you so much
for your comment.
Amen.
And I tell you, I know what you mean. I kind of know what you're feeling right now because I'm feeling something, some kind of way right now. We see that we have another in queue, and the first 3 digits is 516, and the last 4 is 3220. You are now live.
Yes, good evening, my sisters and brothers, and to my cousin, Minister Ford. Again, you have touched and moved me. It's just so appropriate at these times that we're in right now. And I just want to go to the last line of that scripture. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge and will tell of your deeds. Because no matter what we're going through or who's putting us through something, we have to remember that it's our God there. And we have to tell of the good deeds, and he is our refuge and our strength. And like you said, with hope, everything will be all right. And in these times, you can never forget that, because people are looking at us to see, how are we taking these times? How are we coming through? Is our light shining? Are we still giving God that praise and glory? And this was just a good reminder that this is where we need to keep our footsteps sure. So you touch me again. And I just want to keep you encouraged, to keep bringing that word, because there's so many out there, especially in these times, that need to hear it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that comment. That is so awesome and so true. And with times that we are in right now, we have to trust God. Because if we don't trust God, we won't have that hope.
Amen.
We won't have
it
in us. We have to trust God. So praise God for all the comments that has come forth on tonight. We thank you. And if there's anyone else that want to comment, we do have time. You can just press 1 on your phone and we will bring you live on the air. We thank those who have already called in, and we thank God for the comment that you had. And we want to encourage you to go back at a later date and listen at this word again. Because, you know, when we are listening at the word, we don't get it all at that time. So we need to go back and listen at this word again so we can really, really get this word in our spirit. I do want us to understand that once we hear the word, now we are responsible for that word that we have heard. And we are not just responsible ourselves for our own selves, but we are responsible to give this word to somebody else. We got to give this word out. We can't just keep this word in us. We got to help people to understand that there is hope. We still have hope. No matter what is going on, we still have hope. We still have hope, and the enemy is not defeating us.
Amen.
We got to make sure that we... And we don't have to be worried about the sinner man prospering.
Amen.
We don't even have to worry about the saved man prospering.
Amen.
All we have to do is be concerned about ourselves and about God, because we don't have to be like the Joneses. We don't have to be like anybody but God. We need to pattern ourselves after Jesus. Amen? So we thank God for this word on tonight. And before we bring Minister Jones, Minister Ford back, we want to encourage you to join us for Holy Convocation, which will be July the 12th through the 19th. Now, you do not have to come out to our church, which is located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can, but you can go live streaming with us, and you can also take classes with us. So now all you have to do is go to comeintothelight.org. It's comeintothelight.org. And you can take classes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. When you go in there to sign up to register, there will be classes out there that you can take. And whatever email you give, a link will come back to you. And on that morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whichever day or all those days you may want to take a class, but whichever days, a link will come to that email. And on that morning, all you have to do is click on that link, and you will become live on the platform with us in the classroom. So we want you to do that. Now, you can go to YouTube and live stream with us every night at 7 p.m. But we want you to register. Go to comeintothelight.org, comeintothelight.org, and register and join us for Holy Convocation, which is going to start on the 12th of July. Thank you so much. Minister Ford?
Yes, Pastor.
Would you close us out?
I sure will. Just very quickly, for someone who might need, I know there were a lot of points, 8 points, but just an acronym, very quickly, H, honor God, O, obey God, P, pray and praise God, and E, encourage yourself and others. Let us pray. We thank you, this evening, for your word of hope, helping us to realize we have a new beginning in you, O God, rejoicing that what has held us back before no longer holds us back now. We thank you for being our guiding light when darkness had us surrounded, and we thank you for your grace, peace, and your mercy. And as always, we exalt your holy name, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For this word. Amen.
Yeah.
I was also thought about the acronym on hope. Heaven only provides everything. Only heaven provides
love
everything.
It.
If you heaven provides everything, it'll give you hope that you don't have to be concerned about it because heaven gonna provide it.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for this word tonight.
Amen.
We pray that you have been blessed. And we want you to tell your neighbors and tell your friends that. It, and on next Saturday, we have the other part, the other part of the elder elect, Michelle. Next Saturday, so get ready,
amen.
Get ready, get ready, get ready. Next Saturday at 8 p.m. to dial
917-388-4161
to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor
Stephen
and
Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.